Okay, when you're in your groups, I would like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. How do you know that Noah is a Singaporean? You know why? You know why Noah is a Singaporean? You know, huh? Okay. And why is Hosea also a Singaporean? Okay, I think that's the only two Singaporeans in. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 6. Now, I'm going to ask you a very interesting question. Okay, core members, don't give them the answer if you know. But I would like you to just consider, I will break this time of studying the Bible, studying about the life of Noah into two sections. But first, the first section, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, and the sons of men saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, some people say that the sons of God is a reference to angels. Okay? The sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were beautiful and they took wives for themselves. Now, how do we know that this is not a reference to angels? Some people say, oh, the sons of God, they are angels. Okay? And because they are angels, they came down and then they took wives. And that's where we get the giants. Giants in verse... okay? There were giants on the earth, verse 4. That's where the giants came about. Okay? So how do we know that this is not a reference to angels? Okay, that's the first question I'd like you to discuss. How do we know? Ken? So you go ahead and discuss. I give you, 2-3 minutes? Ken? And then we'll go on to the next part. Okay? How do we know that this is not a reference to angels? Right, your study Bible says, oh, you know, these are Satan's angels and so on. Right? The study Bible. So how do we know that it is not? Okay. So don't believe everything you have in your study Bible. Right? Olivia, it's in your study Bible, right?
Yeah.
You're reading it. Yeah, straight away look at the study Bible. Don't ask yourself, okay, how do we know that it's not a reference to angels? Think. Go ahead, discuss. How do we know? Okay, I give you all 2 minutes. So either you all know or don't know. How do we know? How? You all sound very quiet. Okay, what's the first thing you do when you come across a passage like that? What's the first thing you do? Anytime when you come across a passage like that, there's something you need to do. Or any verse, you got to do something first. What's the first thing you do? What? What's the first thing? Huh? Okay, look at the context. After you have looked into the context, then what's the next part? When you do an essay, what's the first thing you do? When you do anybody study economics? Okay, what's the first thing you do when you do an essay? You what?
Plan.
You plan your essay. Okay, you plan. So, in your planning, what's the first thing you do? When you write your essay, first thing you got to do? What? You have to? Joseph? Analyze what? Ah, okay. Analyze keywords. In other words, you got to define things. Right? That's the first thing you do. So who are the key things here? Key people? The sons of God, right? Okay, let's define sons of God. Can it be angels? Can it be angels? Yes or no? Don't know. Okay, so you got to define angels. Right? So you got to ask yourself, what is an angel? Can an angel get married? Of course not. Right? An angel cannot have relationships with men or women. Okay? And how do you know is there's a gender, man or woman? Of course, Gabriel. Right? Now, turn with me to Matthew 22. No, I wanted to just begin with this so that next time if someone were to ask you, you know how to answer. Okay, Matthew 22 and in verse 30. Okay, and in verse 30, we read, "You are mistaken," verse 29, "not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." Angels of God do not marry, or do they have relationships? Can you see that? So once we define that, it cannot be angels. The sons of God here cannot be a reference to angels because they have no relationships. They're just angels. They're messengers. They are powerful beings that do the bidding of God. They do not have relationships. Okay? They are not so-called fallen angels. Then they come down and then they have relationship. This is like a movie, Hollywood movie. No, it's not. It cannot be. Right? So once we define what an angel is, we leave them out. So who are the sons of God? Basically, the sons of God are godly people from the line of Seth, right? Okay, now let's go back to Genesis 6. And in Genesis 6, we read of how when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves. So they became husband and wives. Angels do not become husband and wives. Gabriel become husband. Right? Satan, so one of the demons become a husband. No, you can't. There's no such thing. Right? And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Okay? Now, you see, one problem that we see here is how people can end up compromising. Okay? We can end up compromising. Here is a person. And what you see is the external part of a person. This person, okay, for the guys, here is a beautiful girl. Okay? But what is this person really like inside? Okay, for that matter, a handsome man. And here we read in verse 6, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. And in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay? So, these ladies, these women, they are beautiful on the outside, but inside they are ungodly. Can you see that? Okay? They are ungodly, they are worldly. And so here with the men, when they saw here is a good-looking lady, and so they compromise. Right? And so the Son of God took the daughters of men as their wives, and these became, they compromise. And it's easy to compromise. Can you see? How did the world become so corrupt? It began with compromise. The moment we compromise, the moment we give in to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the heart, we look at the external part of a person and we do not really look into what is really inside the person. We make a choice and here we see how the sons of God, they compromise and they were influenced and they began to sin. So there are three things. First, you compromise. Then, corruption takes place. And then thirdly, there comes a complete end with reference to the people during that time. Okay, the sinfulness of mankind. Wow, great wickedness. It affected not just a region, but the whole earth. You see, all it begins with is a compromise. The moment you compromise, the floodgates will open. Sin will spread. It will affect everything. Can you see? From one person to another person, and so on. And so hate began to spread, envy began to spread, sinfulness began to spread. It affected every heart, every thought, every intent. Huh? And that's the challenge. You see, the challenge is to stand our ground, to stand on truth. But the moment we compromise, okay, one big word that you want to look out for, one big problem that we all face is the word compromise. It's easy to compromise. It's easy to give in. It's easy to follow the crowd. It's easy to look at the sins of others and say, you know what, it's okay. Pastor was telling us a very interesting story recently. It's a joke about how there was this three accountants at a train station. Okay, and so they bought tickets to go onto a train, and then they watched three engineers. So there were three accountants and then three engineers, and the three engineers bought only one single ticket. Okay, and then when the time, and then the three people going, they were traveling only on one ticket. Then the accountant say, "How can you all do that?" Then the engineer say, "Well, watch us, what we will do." So when the ticket master came, straight away they went into the toilet. The three engineers went into the toilet. And then when the ticket man came, knocked on the door, "Can I have the ticket?" And then one hand came out and then showed them one ticket. "Ah, wow." And then the train ticket man went on. Okay? And then the accountants were very impressed. So on the way back, they decided to follow what the engineers did. Okay? Now this time, the engineers did not buy a ticket. And then the accountants were so amazed. "Ah, how come you're going on the train without a ticket?" He said, "You watch and see." So now when the ticket master came, they went. So the three accountants, straight away, they went into the toilet. And then one of the engineers went to the door and knocked. "Ticket, please." "Okay, never mind." Are you all confused? No, huh? Okay. Anyway. Yeah, pastor tells it differently, huh? But you know, my point is, it's easy to be influenced. It's easy to compromise. Right? And that's the thing you should look out for. Okay? So that's the first thing. Once we compromise, corruption takes over. We become corrupt. And corruption spreads. Okay, it can affect a region. It can affect the whole earth. Every heart, every thought, every intent. So we can see the great corruption before God. Now, in chapter 7, we read the earth, verse 6, "And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast." Okay? In verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." You see, that's corruption. So when the moment we compromise, corruption takes place. And if we continue to compromise, we don't deal with it, it will spread. It becomes worse. And worse, and worse. It affects your thoughts. It affects your heart. It affects your life. Okay? And it can spread from one person to another. And then that was what happened to the people during that time. All flesh corrupted their ways. There was no regard for God. They did whatever they wanted. Okay, and so the consequences of sinfulness. God is grief, grave judgment, great destruction. Can you see this? Years ago, there was this singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Have you heard of her? She has the purest voice. During her heyday, she sang beautiful songs, songs of love, songs of life, and she had such a pristine voice. Until she met this guy by the name of Bobby Brown. And she went into drugs. She started taking drugs. She started taking all kinds of things. And she went on a path to, destruction. She destroyed her whole career. She couldn't sing. So she, broke up with this guy, and then tried to come back. But her voice was damaged. She was on drugs. And then not too long ago, apparently she took some drugs, and then she was, lying in a bathtub, and then she drowned, and she died. Okay, and that's what corrupt. When you compromise, you end up with sin. It can affect everything. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, when we look at Noah, it is a total difference. Okay. Now let's take a look at Noah now. And in verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? Now, he was a just man. With reference to himself, he was upright. With reference to himself, he was upright. He was just upright. Okay, with reference to himself. With reference to others, he was perfect. He was blameless. Okay, perfect doesn't mean he has no sin. Perfect means in his generation, because he was distinct, he stood out among all the people in his generation. Okay, he seemed perfect. Can you see that? Not that he's sinless. He wasn't sinless. He was more a person who stood out compared to others. It would seem that he was perfect. He was not corrupt. He was, the intents of his heart was right before God. He did not sin continually. Can you see that? He is a total contrast with reference to the world then, the sinful world that existed then. Can you see that? And he walked with God. So you can see the difference. The difference is, here is beauty. Here is a handsome person. These are all the external things. But when we look at the person deep inside, she's corrupt, she's ungodly, she's worldly. Now, on the other side, it's different. When we look at Noah, inside, he's upright. With reference to others, he's perfect. With reference to God, he's walking with him. Can you see? But on the other side, we see grief, we see anger, we see the wrath of God. Can you see the comparison? Right? And so the challenge is, how can we be like Noah? Right? My question is, how can someone in the midst of a generation of great corruption, great sin, he stands out with uprightness in the heart, with blamelessness, with reference to people, and he walks with God. Right? Okay, so The next question I'm going to ask you, this one you can discuss for a while. How did Noah become like that? What made the difference? Why? How did he become distinct? How come he dared to be different? Everybody else is sinning. The tide is corruption. But he's willing, he's able to stand against the tide. Now, so the next question I'm going to ask you, and for you to discuss, how did Noah become like that? What helped him? Okay, take 5 minutes, discuss. What helped him? Just go ahead, just discuss for a while. Think about it. How? You're not discussing. Already know the answer. Okay, how? Are you all done? Okay. So how did Noah become distinct, different? Okay, start with you all. Okay. It's part of the process. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Guys, only one. How? Okay, faith. Fear of the Lord.
And to believe in that hope that was that he understood even though he wouldn't be able to.
Okay. Okay, so grace comes into play, right?
So we talked about how Noah sought to obey and was conscious of the thing God has like all his words.
Okay.
And another point that you brought up was like kind of close relationship.
Okay, so what does it mean when it's mentioned here? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Which one comes first? Did he have faith in the Lord? Or was it Lord who was very, very gracious to him? That because God was gracious to him, he was able to see God for who he is. Which one? Did he have faith? Or was it grace? You see, for many of us, when we have faith in God, when we come to believe, it's because of grace. Okay, so you ask me, what is the process? How did he come to this stage? It's because from the very beginning, God was gracious to Noah. God's grace was extended. You know, there's the very interesting idea in the New Testament, in Romans, talks about election, right? It talks about being chosen, okay? So it is out of the grace of God that Noah was chosen, that Noah was given this privilege, that Noah was the one, not because he exercised a lot of faith, no. It was God showing grace to him from the beginning. Can you see that? And because God was showing grace, he responded. See, that's how we all come to faith in the Lord too. It is because of our, you know, the Lord's grace given to us that we can respond to him. Can you see that? Now, how did he walk with God? How did he have a life that is upright? He exercised faith. Yes. But again, it is the grace of God. Okay? I call this grace upon grace. There's only one grace here. But this one, biblical concept, there's two grace. In fact, there are many measures of grace. One measure of grace was given upon another measure of grace. So it's called grace upon grace. Layers of grace. One layer of grace, another layer of grace. One upon another. One built upon another. First layer, obviously, is salvation. Right? Then as we seek to want to have faith, to grow, another layer. You know, sometimes when you go to, you know those kuih kuih, the Peranakan kuih kuih, right? They have this layer cake, red in color, green, purple, black, no black. But the layer cake, right? Kuih lapis. Have you all tried kuih lapis? Wow, many, many layers. One layer after another layer. My grandma used to make this kueh lapis, and she makes the best kueh lapis in the whole world. That's how I regard my grandma. And you know what? That's the best kueh lapis I've taken. And it's one layer after another. In other words, as you come to salvation, that's grace. As you seek to walk with God, that's grace again. It is the Lord extending grace to you. So it's one measure of grace given upon another measure of grace. So it was grace that caused him to see God for who he is. Right? And now it is also the grace of God that caused him to be just. Grace of God that caused him to be blameless, to be perfect in his generation. The grace of God that helped him to walk with God. It is not just personal effort. It is not just faith. It is the grace of God in Noah's life. Can you see this? Grace to live well. Grace to discover the will of God. Grace to do God's will. It is the grace of God. Right? So you ask me, Pastor Mitch, how can I be consistent in my walk with God? How can I go beyond being a yo-yo, up and down, up and down? My answer to that is not your own personal effort. It is not your own personal strength. It is the grace of God. It is learning how to depend upon the grace of God each day, every day, every part of the day. So at the end of the day, when I look at Noah, I don't see Noah. I don't see how great he is in terms of his walk with God. I see the grace of God. That's why it's called finding grace in the sight of God. Right? And that's something we need to find. Because why must we find grace? Because it's not going to just come like that. You got to look for it. And just because you demand it or you pray for it, or it's not just going to come like that. It depends on your heart. It depends whether you are humble. It depends on whether you are seeking it, or are you depending on your own strength, or are you distracted? What's in your heart? Is your heart filled with worldly ideas? Is your heart focused on this beautiful girl, guys? Is there a beautiful girl that you're looking out for, and you know, wow, this person, but this person may not have a good heart? Or maybe he's a handsome guy, tall, dark, and handsome. Right? And wow, this person, your heart melts every time he walks past. Huh? Sounds funny, right? Huh? Right. Years ago, I had this in my school, in RJC. There was a guy by the name of Romeo. Sister's name, they are twins. Sister's name is? Juliet. And I tell you, he was good looking. He was. Not that I'm interested in anyway, but he was good looking. And wow, his name was Romeo. So we all were sitting down one day, and we were in the canteen. It's our favorite hangout place. And then Romeo came about. Then my friend shouted, "Oh, Romeo, Romeo! What art thou, Romeo?" Whatever. And he sat down. So, what's your impression if someone by the name of Romeo, and he comes to you, you know, he should speak to you in proper English. He should talk to you in, wow, very nicely. You know what's the first thing he said to me when he opened his mouth? "You are! Don't be like that!" Oh, I cringe. Huh? And sometimes you look, wow, you go to a... Last time I went to McDonald's, and then there was this... Wow, very... You know, there was this girl who was in front, well-dressed, pretty. Then my friend said, "Hey, wow, that's a beautiful girl." I said, yeah. She went in front and ordered, "Can I have the orange juice?" "Can I have the orange juice?" Yeah. You know, don't look at the external part of a person. Don't. Look at what's inside the person. Because if you only look at the external part of a person, it's very easy to compromise. Okay? Don't. Look at what's inside the person. Be a person of depth. Don't be a superficial person. Don't look for the shallow things of life. Look at depth. Look at long term. Look at the idea of grace. I tell you, I'm a pastor today, not because I'm a great pastor. I don't see myself as a great pastor. But I thank God for grace. I thank God that I can depend upon the grace of God to serve Him each day and every day. And I've been serving the Lord for the last 20 over years. What stands out in my life? What is it that has caused me to press on every day? Grace. Okay? What is the first verse I ask you all to memorize from this series? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Okay, let's recite together. Ready, go. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Okay, the second verse, and that's from Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Okay, let's recite then. Ready, go. "Call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great, mighty things which you do not know." Okay, try to review that. Okay, and last week I asked you all to, didn't really ask you to memorize, but another verse that I would like you all to think of is 11 verse 6. Okay, and what is 11 verse 6? 11 verse 6 is, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Okay? Now, that verse, you go and review on your own. The fourth verse that I would like you to memorize and to think about Okay, and I find that this is one of the verses that I've come to love. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 18. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay? When we look at Noah's life, we see grace upon grace upon grace. It was grace that helped him to come and recognize who God is. It is also grace that helped him to walk with God, to be upright, to be perfect. And it's also grace that was given to him to save his family. Next week is part two. Okay, he saved his family because grace was given. When we look at Noah's life, we see the grace of God. And the first thing that I would like you to be challenged to do is to learn to come before the throne of grace. God's throne is a throne of grace. So when we pray to a God who is abundant in grace, a God who is merciful, a God who wants to give grace to you, not just in times of your need, but in everything that you go through in life. How many of you are still having exams this week? Anybody? You know what? You just had a week of exams, and there's some more this coming week. Yeah, you're feeling tired already? Yes, a bit. You know what? This is a time to find grace. Come before God, throne of grace. You know, some of you are going to take major exams at the end of the year, and it's going to be a long marathon, right? And I don't think you're looking forward to that, right? Anybody looking forward to A-levels? Pastor Mitch, I am looking forward to the A-levels exam. None of us. Nobody does. Except for those who score, you know, always A's and yeah? Pastor had a fellow student once, and he's always ace, you know, ace his exams and all. And he always say, another day, another A. Yeah, he says. He has don't know how many, 3-4 degrees. And so, another day, another A. We all, another day, another A. What happened? How come I didn't get an A? Right? But I really would like to impress upon your heart this afternoon. One thing. Grace. The grace of God. Grace upon grace upon grace. When Jesus came to, you know, on this earth, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus. And the same idea, grace upon grace. Okay, you point a finger at Hebrews 4, and then we go to John 1. And in John 1, we read, okay, in verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. The idea here is grace upon grace. And so for the Lord Jesus, wow, grace upon grace. Grace to know him, grace to live for him, grace to serve him, grace to discover his will, grace to do his will, grace. Everything is about grace. Grace features strongly in everything we do. Paul says, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace of God towards me was not in vain, because I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. From the beginning to the end, it should be about the grace of God. So some of us may think, oh, you know what? I'm not as intelligent as the next person. I'm not as good looking as the next person. I don't have a better, you know, upbringing than the next person. I don't have this, I don't have that. Please stop. It's not about you. It's not about your background. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's about the grace of God in your life. Grace upon grace upon grace. Sure, studying can be tough. You know, taking your O-levels or taking A-levels, JC1, JC2, can be very tough. I understand that. I've been through that. It can be challenging at times. Tiring, days can be very long. But you know what? God will give you enough grace for that day, for that week. Enough grace to go through each day. This week, I had 15 messages to come out with. 4 articles. Oh. Well, middle of the night, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Cannot sleep. Have you experienced that? Not yet, huh? Then I pray. I say, Lord, I need to rest. Help me to rest. And the Lord grant me sleep. And then I get up at 4:30 and do some more work. And you know what? I finished it. 1 week. I finished all that I needed to do. So next week, message, articles, all done. I'm done. And the whole week, pastor is not going to be around. Yahoo, no, no, Yahoo. But I have the whole week ahead to prepare for the next few weeks. Wow, I'm looking for it. It's actually very, very liberating when you have so much time to do something ahead of time. And I'm really looking forward to that. But you know what? It's the grace of God. Not my strength, not my intelligence. The grace of God. And I hope this word grace, not grace, but the grace of God will impress upon your heart. It's not you. It's not how wonderful you are. It's not how bad you are. It's not, wow, how come I don't have the opportunities that others have? The challenge is depend upon the grace of God. Sure, there are times when we can compromise. But you know what? Come back to God. God does not condemn. There's grace. There's mercy. Okay? Now let's go back to Hebrews. And let's memorize this wonderful verse. Let us hold fast. Right? Verse 14. To our confession. Hold fast to the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's memorize this. Okay, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Okay, let's try. Ready? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Obtain mercy. Find grace. Noah found grace. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. And we can obtain mercy for our sins, our inadequacies, and find grace. Grace will be given in our time of need. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for the example of Noah and how he found grace in your sight. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of great grace and mercy. And we have come to realize that even as we face the challenges of life, it is not by our own strength. It is not by our own intelligence. It's not about us. But it's by the grace of God that we can achieve, that we can overcome, that we can do well in our exams. And Father, we want to pray that you will help each one here this afternoon to rely so much more on grace that you give. Let us come boldly, even more, to diligently seek you, that you may reward us accordingly. I want to pray for all those who are taking exams next week, that, Lord, you will grant them grace, Lord, to go through the next few days and to do their best. And I pray also for all those who are taking this long road to preparing for their major exams at the end of the year. Lord, give them grace, Lord, for each day. We pray that you will enable them to last out and to do their best at the end of the year. We ask for your blessing and bless us as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give our offering. 9th of June. I know you're studying for your exams. 9th of June, take a break. Let's go Sentosa. Okay? Thank you. Ken, Sentosa, we are going to have most probably in the morning. Then by 2, 3 o'clock, we'll be back.